Welcome, 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 welcome back to Locked On 76ers. I'm your host, Keith Pompey. Happy Wednesday to you. It's April the 1st. It's April the Fool's Day. What's up, Marcus? I got my man, Mr. Marcus Hayes, in the building. What's up, man?
I'm not sure I like the introduction. It's April Fool's Day. Here's Marcus.
I know, right? Hey, I was trying to get like an April Fool's joke, but I don't know. Like, what can you do today? You know, you really don't want to do one, you know? You don't. I guess, Marcus, with the NBA season, if someone said that the NBA, if someone said 3 months ago that the mayor of Atlantic City was basically petitioning, or not petitioning, but would welcome and is hopeful that the NBA would play the NBA tournament in Atlantic City, you would have swore that was an April Fool's joke. You know what I mean? Like, what are you talking about?
I hear what you're saying, but, I mean, at that point, the CBA, the Chinese Basketball Association, had suspended operations, right? So, or was getting ready to because of the virus. And if, you know, I think I probably pay attention to the international news more than most people, but I didn't think that the United States was going to escape the coronavirus. No. I wasn't sure how big a deal it would be, and it sort of depended on how we prepared for it.
Mm-hmm.
I figured there would be some interruption to some degree. No, I wouldn't have thought that you needed to move or centralize the NBA playoffs if they happen. And I didn't think the layoff would be this long, but I also didn't think the federal government would screw it up this badly. So, you know, we're looking at 100,000 to 300,000 deaths, if we're lucky, over the next few months. So, you know, and if you looked at the modeling, even 2 months ago, 3 months ago, it was dire. It was daunting. So I thought that there would be an interruption, but I honestly thought that by June or July, we would be resuming normal practices, not just games, but games with people at the games. I figured testing would be done. We'd know who had it, who didn't, and we'd be able to, we'd have the facilities to deal with whatever we needed to deal with. That was wrong. You know, I underestimated it, but I did think something was coming. You know, to project that the old Atlantic City, the Atlantic 10 tournament site could be the new NBA playoff tournament site is makes your head spin, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. I mean, and that's the thing. Like, you know, I get it. I understand that, you know, we're in times, but I would have never imagined. I mean, you know, right now, you know, the New York Post came out with a report yesterday. Now, you know, you're talking to sources in the league. You know, a lot of them are saying that, you know, everything's on the table right now. I mean, they have yet to, you know, sit down. Now, of course, they have to make preliminary calls to people to say, hey, would this be an option? I mean, would you guys be available if possible, need be? But, you know, right now what they're talking about is, you know, Atlantic City, Orlando, Hawaii, Louisville, and Las Vegas. And the Bahamas have also been mentioned as a place. And, you know, you look at, like you said, the home of the old Atlantic 10 tournament, you know, places, other places have, other people have had tournaments there. You know, back in the day, you heard stories about, you know, NBA games being played there. But now, you know, it's getting coming to a point that, you know, the league is looking for a venue that can house like all 16 playoff teams and have like a tournament type atmosphere with no fans. And that would be huge for Atlantic City, you know, as far as bringing money into there, like the NBA paying for stuff. But I have to admit, I was actually shocked. Now, places like Las Vegas, Orlando, Hawaii, and the Bahamas, you know, I can understand that, but I was actually shocked about Atlantic City. I mean, I'm not going to lie about that.
Well, I mean, I guess the number one issue is, can you keep things centralized? Because it's going to be like TSA, right? The only people being allowed in and out of the arena and the hotels are going to be people who not only have been tested and either have, you know, had the virus and recovered or test negative, but also, you know, you can't allow these people to interact with anybody,
mm-hmm.
including family and friends. So you're essentially going to be locked down. It's like walking through TSA, or if you've ever been to the Olympics, walking through, you know, the security gate, and the only people allowed in are the people who passed the test. So Atlantic City is probably a pretty good option compared with Vegas. Both have lots and lots of, you know, empty hotel rooms, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Vegas in the summer isn't all that great, so you probably wouldn't be spending a whole lot of time outside. But, yeah, I mean, why not Atlantic City? It's one of the three or four places that you could consolidate the personnel and quarantine the personnel the way that you'd have to quarantine.
Yeah, I mean,
it's close, physically close to the league offices, which is important. You can take a train to and from Atlantic City. The league offices would have to relocate to wherever the site was, if it's not in New York or Atlantic City, I'd imagine, you know.
Yeah.
But again, I mean, we are months away from resuming normal activities and exposing the players and there are 15 players on each team, but they're, you know, each team's traveling party is what, 50 or 60 players, with 50 or 60 people for the playoffs, you know? So it's just a huge undertaking, but a drop in the bucket for the facilities in Atlantic City and Las Vegas.
Yeah, I would be shocked if just because of, you know, the testing and the fear of getting the virus, that they would have all those people there. I mean, you know, I was shocked. I mean, I would be shocked with that. I mean, who knows? They could, but I just would be shocked. And we'll be right back after this commercial break. You know, I mean, now here's my thing. The thing is, like, Atlantic City, I mean, I would like it because it's kind of close to home. You know what I mean? Like, I'm a guy who lives in South Jersey right now. I mean, so I would love that. But my question is, like, when I think of Las Vegas and I think of Orlando, well, Las Vegas really sticks out to me just because, now again, it's Sin City. It's so much that can happen. You know what I mean? The guys sneaking out, trying to get away from the quarantine, and I see that. But the thing is, when you look at it, you know, they have Summer League there. You know, you have Thomas and Mac located right next to the Cox Pavilion. And then if you go right outside, you can you have the UNLV practice facility. So that's right then and there. That's three courts. You can have three games at the same location going on at the same time. You know what I mean? So to me, for like, you know, basically a convenience standpoint, and I can see where Atlantic City is really on the East Coast, is close to the NBA offices in New York, and close to, you know, Secaucus and stuff like that. But to me, I feel like that Vegas, as far as just having the setup already, that you can have it there. Like, I can't speak for Hawaii. Now, I also know that in Orlando, like, if you would like to choose Orlando, you know, inside the Amway Center, they have a practice gym, and they also have, you know, the court that they use for the game. So that's two, and you can possibly use the University of Central Florida. But Vegas, they have all three of these courts right next to each other. So to me, I don't know if you want to go to Sin City, but at the same time, I believe that that is the unofficial headquarters of the NBA in the summertime, just because of the summer league. So to me, I would think that that would be the leader. You know what I mean? Just because of, they already have, you know, just because of familiarity. You know, being familiar with it, I can't get words out today, but just because, you know, you're familiar with it and everything like that. So to me, I think that would be a leader if you would like to go that route.
Well, it all kind of depends on where we are with the, arc of the virus in the individual sites. When you're talking about the in the time frame you're talking about, I mean, if you look at what Florida has done and hasn't done, it just it looks as though Florida is going to be the next New York City. Mm-hmm. It's what's happened. They don't even have lockdown in Florida right now. So what's happened and what's happening in Florida statewide, it could be, especially with the advanced age of a lot of the people down there, it could be an absolute hellscape over the next 6 months. So anything happening in Florida, especially something as flippant and unimportant as the NBA season and playoffs, it just might not be able to go off. As you know, New Jersey is in dire straits right now, but, you know, 4 months from now, New Jersey might be, you know, much more palatable. But again, I mean, you're right. Vegas is set up. My contention for years has been every All-Star game, every NCAA Final Four, you know, the Pro Bowl, the NHL and NBA All-Star games all should be in Las Vegas before Vegas got an NHL team. It's, you know, perfect for that sort of thing. And before the Knights showed up there in the NHL and before the NFL decided to go there next year, there were no teams that would benefit from it, no cities that would benefit from it in the league. So it would be fair to everyone and everyone could share the revenue. You know, it's always been kind of an interesting and perfect venue for, you know, sort of pop in, drop in, you know, non-essential events. And that's what the NBA season and playoffs would be. And the NHL could do the same.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Now, my question to you is, what about, I mean, do you think that, are you in favor of them playing games at all? Or do you feel like they would be better off, you know, just saying, hey, look, guys, we're going to scrap this season. I mean, and we're just going to worry about coming back strong, you know, in September and starting the season in October.
Well, because the Summer Olympic Games have been scrapped now, I would not be against resuming the season at some point, but only for the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Just the playoff tournament. You lock the seeds in now, and whenever you resume, that's what you do. And you don't need to play seven games. You know, there's nothing wrong with a best of three in basketball, especially. I believe that, you know, best of three tournament, because the guys aren't going to be in the kind of shape they would be in, and because there's just not going to be enough time, I believe that that makes more sense, as long as, you know, the country and the region that it's in can conscionably sort of afford to host them, and it's logistically possible as well. I mean, at some point, life has to resume. And if they're playing baseball games in July in empty stadiums, there's no reason they can't play basketball games in July in empty arenas.
Yeah, that's true. But my thing, you know, talking about in July in empty arenas, would you be in favor of them doing it at a neutral site, like, as is this option? Or do you think that it would be better off if they did it at the home arena? You know what I mean?
No, absolutely. No, you cannot do it at the home arena. I don't think that logistically you can, because I believe you have to quarantine. This isn't going away. Here's the thing about my understanding about coronavirus.
Okay, hold on one sec, just so we can pay some bills.
Okay.
All right, now go ahead.
So here's my understanding about the coronavirus. We won't have a vaccine for a year, mm-hmm. at the earliest. The only way to mitigate it is through social distancing. And the only way to sort of control it is through testing. Mm-hmm. That's for a year. So if we're talking about resuming the season sometime this summer, we're still months away from there being a vaccine, which means we essentially need to quarantine to some degree for a long time to quote-unquote flatten the curve. And the reality is, a lot of people are going to, I mean, millions and millions and millions of people probably are infected with this right now, in the United States, and they expect billions of people to be infected with it across the world. So this crisis isn't going to recede anytime soon. If you have this tournament, this postseason abbreviated truncated tournament, you will have to have the tournament in the safest possible manner. And that means quarantining the people in the tournament. So say you go to cover the tournament and I go to cover the tournament. We get tested and we don't leave for a month.
Mm-hmm.
We go into the compound. No one's in, no one's out. That's the way it's got to be. That's why I believe, you know, this sort of pipe dream of, you know, baseball teams resuming in July. I believe it's less likely for there to be a baseball season at home sites than I believe it's possible to finish the hockey and basketball seasons in sequestered sites, mm-hmm. in quarantine sites. It just doesn't make any sense. And, you know, getting from point A to point B, getting through airports, you know, living in hotels, you're just asking for these, you know, these players and coaches not only to become infected, but also to spread it. And a lot of these, you know, coaches and support staff and people working in the stadiums who have to be there, grounds crew members, people, you know, working in food service, things like that, they're not, you know, we're thinking about the 15 NBA athletes or the 25 baseball players who are in great shape. Well, a lot of these coaches and a lot of the support staff and a lot of the executives aren't. You know, they're not young and they're not in great shape. So yeah. If you are going to do this sort of thing, it has to be in a very controlled environment. I mean, I would say this. It makes a lot more sense and it's a lot more feasible to finish the two winter seasons than to even start the baseball season because it's just not controllable.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you're right. I mean, we didn't even really talk about the fact that one's outdoor, the other one's inside. And I guess, you know, your point makes a lot of sense to why don't even go to the regular season. I mean, don't even continue the regular season. You know, just go straight to the playoffs. And you know what? It kind of makes you think that, you know, the fact that the league, you know, if players contract, you know, there's something in their clause to where they can lose up to 25% of, you know, their remaining salary, right? If they don't finish the regular season. The fact that the owners and the players association, they're discussing this right now, leads me to believe that what you're saying is going to happen, that they're going to do away with the regular season, the remaining games, and just start the playoffs. Because if they continue the regular season, these guys won't be docked their salary, you know? So that leads me to believe that that's the thinking as well. And that you and I will probably, if you decide to go with me, that we'll probably be in wherever we are, like just hopping on a bus, coming and going from the hotel. You know, for
exactly.
A month.
It'll be like covering an Olympics where you can live in an area at the Olympics where you never have to go through security again. You can live sort of within the confines of the compound. So anyway, all that said, you know, it was never plausible to me that the NBA or NHL would continue any more regular season games when they ran off the court at the Rudy Gobert game. I just thought that was it, you know. And, you know, the reality is we might not be able to resume NBA and NHL or any other sports season, NCAA sports seasons, until there is a vaccine.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Which means there might not be any basketball or hockey, regular season basketball, hockey, or baseball until the next calendar year. I mean, the enormity, the horror that is coming at us is unimaginable unless you've read or read, you know, books about, you know, modern day plague or seen movies about modern day infectious diseases. It's just going to be horrible. And the conversation we're having now, while it seems important, you know, 900 people died yesterday in the United States. That's about 20% of all the fatalities in the United States so far. In one day, we got 20% more. So those numbers aren't going to level off for a long time. So while it seems important that we're talking about this now, in a month, it might not seem important at all.
True. You're exactly right. You know, and that's sad when you hear it, like 900. You know, I remember when, hey, it was 15, 16. You know what I mean?
16 cases. Yeah. Hey, you know, we could have 10 podcasts on how our federal government and, you know, following the federal government, several state governments, you know, for the sake of making the most money as long as they could, were catastrophically negligent in the way that they prepared and conducted themselves. And, you know, before the Sixers' last game, or the Flyers' last game, I wrote a column begging people to stay away from these games. And 6 days, three days later, there were no more games.
Yeah.
Because Rudy Gobert tested positive. So, you know, it's a huge deal. It's just an absolute, it's the most important thing that will happen in our lifetime, I hope.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's bigger than any of the wars that have happened in our lifetime. It's probably the biggest thing that's happened globally since World War II. And there's a very good chance that there are going to be more casualties.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we could talk about this forever.
Right.
But unfortunately, it's time to go, brother. But hey, you hear Marcus out here dropping knowledge. So you guys need to do yourself a favor if you haven't already done so. Follow him on Inquirer.com. You know, read all his articles. And Marcus, tell them how they can reach you on Twitter.
It's Ink Stained Wretch, without the W, because ain't no W's in my life, man.
Were you taking a lot of losses? Is that what you're saying?
I'm good at taking the L.
Nah, you read him. He's very insightful. He tells it how it is. I mean, I follow him. I read him. And if you, the one thing, he's one of the reporters I give him credit for, that if you ask him a question on Twitter, and if you say something to him, he is going to respond to you. He'll answer your questions. He'll hold a dialogue. So, you know, that's refreshing in this day. So, Marcus, I want to thank you for being on this podcast. I want to thank you all for listening. And have a great day. Oh, by the way, be safe and wash your hands. I'm not laughing. The reason I'm laughing because, you know, people say, like, ah, man, what are you talking about? And now you hear there was over 900 deaths yesterday. So be safe. You know, take everything that you're hearing seriously.
And it's not just old people.
Exactly. It's not just old people. All right. I want to thank you, Marcus. I want to thank y'all. Peace.